Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hello everyone, my name is Sadara and I'm one of the members of staff here at The Rocks Church, and it is such a privilege and a joy to be able to speak to you today. Now, wherever you're joining us from, we want you to feel really, really welcome. We're so glad that you could tune in today. Now, I want to start off today with a little bit of show and tell. Now, this here is a page of road signs that Michael actually gave us during staff meeting this last week. And he wanted us to pick one of these road signs that best describe the last 6 months of our lives. And he wanted us to explain why. Now, this was a really insightful, really impactful exercise, actually. I'd recommend that you try it at home. But there was just one little snafu, one slight little snag. You see, me, I never ever learned to drive. So I have no idea what most of these road signs on this piece of paper actually mean. However, I did actually pick one, and you will be able to see the one that I picked on your screen right now. Now, don't laugh at me, but when I saw that sign, I mean, I now know that it's a sign for a wet road, like a slippery road. But when I saw the sign, I thought it was when a car started in one direction and then would suddenly have to do an unexpected turn to another direction. Now, I know that sounds silly and I don't know why you would need a road sign for that. But there you go. That's what I thought. This is why I should stick to taking the train. Okay, but I picked that sign because that's kind of what this year has been like so far. You know, we started off in one direction and then we started off with all of these plans, and then suddenly, unexpectedly, this year took a turn in another direction, and we have had to unexpectedly turn with it. And I know that's been challenging for many of us. Now, Australia right now, we're emerging out of lockdown, and I'm sure for a lot of us, we can't wait to get back to normal. But for me, I've come to the realization that I don't want to go back to normal the same way. See, I don't want to go back to normal. I want to move forward into a new normal. I don't want to go back to the person I was. I want to move forward to the person that I can become. See, there are a lot of things that I learned about myself, learned about my faith, learned about my community while I was in lockdown. And I want to continue to work on those and grow in those after lockdown. One of these areas, one of these things was in this area of gratitude. You know, I would say that I'm a pretty thoughtful, pretty grateful person, but actually lockdown showed me that I took a lot for granted, more than I actually realized. I realized that I took for granted that I have a roof over my head. I realized that I took for granted that I have food in the fridge. I realized that I took for granted that I live in a country where I can step into a supermarket and expect it to be stocked full of pasta and flour and toilet roll. I took for granted the fact that I can go out to eat in a safe way. I can go out into a cafe and sit and enjoy a coffee. I took for granted being able to hug and shake hands with people. Without realizing it, I realized that I certainly took a lot for granted. Why is it that it seems like the only time I realize how much I take for granted is when those things are actually taken away from me? Have you heard of that old saying, you don't know what you have until it's gone? Is that true? Does it really take something to be taken away from us for us to truly appreciate it, for us to be truly grateful for it? Perhaps that's why the Bible talks to us a lot about being thankful, a lot about being grateful. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul, he says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Colossians, he says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Give thanks to God. Give thanks always. Give thanks in every circumstance. Give thanks in prayer. But honestly, sometimes being grateful doesn't come all that easy, does it? a lot of the time in my life, it's not that I don't want to be grateful. I just forget to be grateful. I just forget to be thankful. Is it just me, or would you say that was you as well? You see, I think there's a reason for that. Let me show you. All the way back in the very beginning, the first book of the Bible, Genesis. And for those of you who've heard me speak before, yes, we're back to the book of Genesis because I love the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, it tells us how God created the world. It says that he made the stars and the moon and the sky and the sun, and he made the birds and the bees, and then he made human beings. He made mankind, the first humans, Adam and Eve. And they were the pinnacle of his creation. They were the glory of his creation. And he created for them this Garden of Eden, which was a paradise. And he gave them authority over everything that he had created. But there was just one restriction. You see, there was a tree that was in the middle of the garden that they were not to eat from, that they were not to touch, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you see, they had free reign, free access over everything, just not this one tree. But the enemy comes while everything is going well. The enemy comes in the form of a serpent and has a conversation with Eve. And this is how that conversation goes. In Genesis chapter 3, it says this. It says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat.' God said, 'You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'Oh, you won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be opened, and as soon as you eat it, you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.'" Verse 6 says, "The woman was convinced." And we know what happens after that. Eve eats the fruit and she gives some to her husband, Adam, who eats it as well. And that was the moment that sin first entered the world. It was also the moment that Eve stopped recognizing the garden that she did have and started focusing on the one tree that she didn't have. You see, she looked for the thing that was outside of God without recognizing all that she already had in God. She forgot about the garden and she started focusing on the tree. Isn't it true that we do that also in our own lives? We look for the thing that is outside of God without stopping to recognize the blessings that we already have in God. You see, it's because we take them for granted. They become so familiar to us that we stop recognizing, we stop seeing the blessing. And just like Eve, who forgot about the garden, who stopped seeing the birds and the waterfalls, we stop seeing the food in the fridge and the roof over our heads and the liberties and the freedoms that we enjoy. We stop being grateful and we start taking for granted. And taking things for granted, well, that keeps gratitude in the grave. And the enemy starts taking ground, just like he did with Eve. See, when we keep gratitude in the grave, when we take for granted, when we stop being thankful, it's dangerous because we stop seeing God. Do you know that old song that goes something like this? It says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done." I actually don't know if that's the right melody, but the words are true. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Counting our blessings, giving thanks, recognizing blessing, being grateful, it opens up our eyes to see God. We see his hand in everything. We recognize his provision. We recognize the abundance of grace that he has poured out on us. And when we realize what we do have, we realize how much we have to share. You see, generosity is a response to gratitude. Recognizing and realizing what we do have is a powerful thing. Have you heard people say you can't give what you don't have? Well, it's also true that you can't give what you don't know you have. So, finding the blessing, looking for, realizing, recognizing, seeing the garden that God has given you, whatever it looks like and however much it is powerful because we realize how much we have to offer. So what do we do? How do we open our eyes up to see the gift of God? How do we exercise? How do we build this muscle of gratitude in our lives? Well, Erasmus says this. He says, a nail is driven out by another nail. Habit is overcome by habit. You know, we could try and complicate it, but actually there's no big mystery. There's no big secret. Sometimes it's as simple as just doing what the Bible tells us to do. Remember those verses we read earlier? Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Colossians 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God. Ephesians 5, give thanks always and for everything to God. What if we just did what the Bible actually tells us to do? What if we looked for ways to be grateful, always and often and on purpose? What would that look like practically in our lives? Well, firstly, gratitude comes through practice. We must practice being grateful. You know, for some people, it might be as simple as waking up every morning and writing down 5 things you're grateful for. You could keep a gratitude journal or perhaps write it down on your phone. But whatever you do, the most important thing is to do something. Because here's the thing. Just because you want to be grateful, it's not going to automatically make you grateful. We have to be intentional. Remember, a nail drives out a nail. A habit is overcome by a habit. Practicing gratitude builds the habit of gratitude and drives out the habit of ingratitude. Practice. And as we practice gratitude, we would do well to be mindfully grateful. You know, sometimes I'm grateful like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for the food and the birds and the bees, and thank you for the sunrise and the sunset. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for the car. And slapping on this blanket of thanks actually doesn't make me grateful in my heart. It just ticks a box in my head. And over the last few months, I've taken a little bit more time to stop and to recognize, to be mindful, to be specific, to be conscious, and then be grateful for the blessing. I don't want to waste my blessings by being ignorant of them. Do you? I don't think so. We have to practice gratitude and then make sure that we're mindfully, consciously, specifically grateful. And yet, there are times where it's not always that simple, is it? Sometimes when you're in a place of pain, when you're facing a challenge or you're in a place of heartbreak, it can be incredibly painful to even try and be grateful. Perhaps that's you today and you're listening to this message and you're in pain and you have a heart that is broken and a soul that is wounded and you're tired and you feel low and you're grieving. In that place, it can be incredibly difficult to be grateful. But I heard something this past week that really blessed me. I want to take you to a psalm. In Psalm 50, verse 14, it says this. It says, sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Sacrifice thank offerings to God. A sacrifice of thanks. Do you know what? Sometimes gratitude is a sacrifice. When I'm in pain, when I don't feel like it, when there doesn't seem anything to be grateful for, we can offer a sacrifice of thanks to God. Because gratitude is a gift that is truly transformational. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus, before he went to his death, he is having this last meal with his closest friends, the disciples. And in Luke 22, verse 19, it says this. It says, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he takes the cup and he does the same. Anne Voskamp, in one of the best books I've ever read called 1,000 Gifts, she talks about this moment with Jesus where he takes the bread and he gives thanks. And the Greek word for thanksgiving in that sentence is this word, Eucharistio. And she says the root word of Eucharistio is charis, meaning grace. But it also holds its derivative in the Greek word chara, meaning joy. You know, at this, the Last Supper, Jesus knew all that lay before him. He knew that God so loved the world that he sent him, Jesus, his only beloved son, to die a sinner's death on the cross so that he would pay the price and the penalty for the sin of the whole world and that we would be free of the charge that was laid against us. And so Jesus went to the cross and he took upon the cross the wrath of God. He took upon the cross the weight and the sin and the guilt of the world, and he died and made atonement for it. And so now he rose again in victory, and he won this victory against sin and death and the grave, and he also won for us eternal life. This is the good news of the gospel. But it cost Jesus. It cost him wholly and deeply in ways that we will never understand. And the night before all of this happens, he takes the bread and he takes the cup and he gives thanks. See, in Eucharistio, you find charis and you find chara. You find grace and you find joy. In Hebrews 12, it says about Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. See, where thanks is possible, joy is possible. And Jesus showed us how. Gratitude is really a gift that transforms me. Does it mean we hide our pain? Does it mean we suppress our broken heart and our wounds? No. It just means that in the middle of our pain, in the middle of our hurt, in the middle of our brokenness, in the middle of all that is still not, we offer a sacrifice for all that already is. And in the middle of our thanksgiving, in the middle of our Eucharistio, we too find charis, grace, and chara, joy. Gratitude makes a way for that. Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke the bread, and he gave, he shared. You see, from this place, we can take what has already been given to us, and we can give. We can share, we can pour out, we can bless just like Jesus did. Gratitude is the gift that transforms. And Jesus invites us into it, both you and me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the amazing gift of your Son, the amazing gift of eternal life that Jesus won for us on that cross. And Father, we thank you for all the gifts since, all the gifts that, all the blessings that you have showered and poured out for us. Father, we're sorry for the times we take for granted. We're sorry for the times we don't recognize, when we don't see. But God, we pray today for eyes to be open, for hearts sensitive to the Spirit, to see your hand, to see your provision, to see your grace all over our lives. We want to see you, God. We want to see your hand. And Father, we pray that you help us to build this muscle of gratitude in our lives. And God, I want to pray your blessing over every single person that's listening to this, over their families, God. Pray the highest blessing of God, the pressed down, shaken together, overflowing blessing. And Father, may we as your people take your love and your blessing out into this world so that many people will come to know you both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.